What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have DJ Clutch getting ready to tell us about his DJ story and his path in the industry. Brother, could you please introduce yourself, tell the people where you're from and who you are?
Sure. What's going on, everybody? My name is DJ Clutch, also known as Mr. Easy. I'm based here in Washington, D.C. I've been DJing full-time for like the past, I want to say, 5 years. I've been DJing for 9, but I have a little history with DJing, actually. As a child or younger, I had two uncles who were like big DJs in the DMV area. And one night, my uncle was responsible for babysitting me. So he took me to this club called The Legend, which is closed now. I had to be every bit of like 7 or 8. So he snuck me through the back and put me under the DJ booth. While he's DJing, I'm sitting up under the booth like the whole night. Like, I really couldn't see everything that was going on, but from what I could hear, it was like, all right, okay, this is something that I think I could do. Later on down the line, my mom, she let me throw a house party for actually that same uncle's daughter, for my cousin. And that was the first house party that I ever threw. No turntables. Nothing like that. It was just me, a couple of CDs that I had burnt on a new computer that we had just gotten, and like just that and tapes. So it was a mixture of a CD player and the tape deck. And it turned out pretty good. It was the first like party I had threw by myself. And I was in, what, 7th grade? I had people from the neighborhood's high school coming to the party. It was kind of crazy. So, like, fast forward, I had lost my mom in the 11th grade. And I had got back into music by joining the band, the high school marching band. That kind of, like, helped me. Kept me like on a good path. And then I went on to college. This is when things really started to pick up as far as like DJing. I went off to college. First I went to Delaware State, and like I was doing the room parties and stuff like that, DJing off of virtual DJ on the laptop. And then after that, I left Delaware State and then I transferred to Cheney University. Cheney University was where I actually got my first set of turntables or my first controller. I linked up with a guy by the name of DJ Fifth. He stayed like right across the hall from me and my roommate. And I just linked with him. I was like, yo, I want to start, you know what I'm saying, start DJing. So he just took me under his wing every day that I could. Or when I was in my room and I heard him in his room practicing and spinning, I'd go over there, hey, yo, teach me this, you know, learn this and learn different things. And then that helped because he was from DC as well. So once we came home doing like breaks and stuff, he would have gigs and he'd call me, hey, bro, you wanna open up or you wanna DJ or this, that, and third? So it started from there. And then that's when I was having like extreme fun with it. But then I also learned that I had to actually treat it as a business as well. So that's when, like after working with Fifth for a while, I had went on to, I got my first residency. It was a cheap residency, but it was my first residency. I was working at a hookah bar called Sawa Diner. I was DJing for a large pizza, a hookah, and like $50 and whatever I could make at the door, you know?
I hear that. You know?
And then it was kind of hard because the hookah bar didn't sell alcohol. So it was kind of hard to pitch to people, hey, this is where you need to be spending your Friday and Saturday nights. But that's when I put the team around me. I brought in my younger brother, who's good with promotions and marketing, different things like that. I brought him in and a few of my childhood friends. And we just pretty much formed a, I guess you want to say like a promotion group, to where as though we decided to do our own parties. Because coming out, I'm not sure like how it is with different scenes in other places, but here in the DMV area, it's like, if you aren't a known person, or if you aren't hanging with a certain crowd at like certain clubs and stuff like that, like you're hardly going to get your name out. And the promoters are going to be reluctant to putting you on the show.
Yeah.
So that's why we created our own parties. And then after that, things started to take off. It took off, but then it took a turn for the worse somewhat. So after that, I was still working like a regular 9-to-5 and stuff. And then after a while, it started to bear on me because I was working two jobs a day for Monday through Friday. And then after I would finish that second job, I would then, if I'm booked, go out to DJ. So it became a headache after a while. So I quit one job, and then it was that and DJing. And then December of 2014, I had just gotten another residency for a club that's now closed called Newtown down here in the U Street area of DC. And I had just got my residency. My son was just born earlier that year, right? So I was working for a furniture company, actually. And I had started with them earlier that year, like Memorial Day weekend. And this when the DJing was really starting to like pick up. So I was working there. And I became cool or cordial with a few of my coworkers and stuff like that. Like they knew the things that I were into and the things that I was doing. So I was able to kind of get on the good side of some coworkers, and they were willing to like switch out certain days with me so that I could be able to do what I was trying to do with my dreams and stuff. So it came to a point where it was like, I was getting called to do cookouts mm-hmm. or weekend day parties and stuff like that. But the job, it was, we had to work mandatory Saturdays or something like that, or like two Saturdays out the month or something like that. So it was like, all right, okay, this is not, but I'll chalk it up though, you know. So later that year, like in December, that's when I made the biggest decision that I probably should have waited to make, but I guess everything happens for a reason. I wanted the job to fire me so that I could collect unemployment. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm gonna be completely honest. You know, with being a DJ is just that certain things aren't guaranteed, you know. So it was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I just got the residency, but just in case anything happens, let's see if we can get the unemployment to where as though, you know, if anything happens, we still got some kind of income coming in to just build off of that.
Yep.
It came down to it. It was like, no, buddy, we're not going to give you the unemployment or anything like that. So I had a decision to make. It was, I was either going to stay there and keep trying to figure out how to split my time, or I was just going to walk away. So I battled with it for a little while, and I finally made my decision. I had got a call to start doing a internet radio show, and like, that's my dream, to be on radio or to be a radio personality at DJ. So I said, you know what? This is it. You know, I tried to have someone switch Mondays with me, and they were all for it. But my supervisor, no, that's something that we can't do. So I said, you know what? All right, okay, I gotta go. The following year was when I hit rock bottom. Like a few moments after that, I hit rock bottom. It was like tax time, right? And I'm thinking, all right, okay, we got the residency, you know, we couldn't get the unemployment, but it's fine because we still get DJ gigs here and there, so it's kind of cool. I had filed for my taxes for the year. And again, I had just had my son. I was getting back like $7,000 or something like that. And I'm like, this is perfect. Like, you know, I get this. I can square away bills, be caught up, everything like that. And somehow, some way, that $7,000 vanished. I don't know where it went. I never received not one penny.
Wow.
So I had lost everything. The club had ended up closing down due to a fight and stuff like that. I had quit my job. And the big payday that I thought was going to come through just vanished. So now it was back to square one. And that kind of helped me because I always tell people it helped me transfer my hustle. Because at an early age or younger age, like when I was in junior high, high school, like I did toy around with the streets. So it was like now it was like, all right, cool. That same hustle, that same drive that you had doing that, you have to figure out how to switch it over and apply it to this. So it took a while. Took me about a few years or so. But then I finally got it. Built the brand, the Clutch Season brand, of course, because the name's DJ Clutch. And then things started to look up from there. I ended up DJing for Future at Bliss Nightclub. I did Yo Gotti at Bliss Nightclub, as well as at Opera. I DJ for Ty Dolla Sign, DC Young Fly, Fat Trill, Lil Fizz. It's been a few celebrities I've DJ for since that whole fallout. But that's one thing that I can say is for anyone that's watching this that wants to be a DJ, it's not an easy thing. You know, from getting the equipment to even after you have equipment, after a while, a few years later, you're going to want to upgrade or you're going to have to upgrade, you know. And then making the connections, now because of the pandemic, things are closed and stuff like that. But before and once things start to open back up, DJs, don't be ashamed to go out to a club or to a party and network with the DJ that's there. You know, of course, you can't talk to him while he's spinning, but you know what I'm saying? Go and get him a drink or something. Take it up to him. Hey, boss, I'm such and such and such and such. Been thinking about getting into this. I ain't going to disturb you too much, but here you go. You know, things like that like go a long way within DJs and within the DJ community because we all have to look out for one another.
Man, this is a really amazing story, bro. And you've been through a lot. You've been through a lot, man. And I feel for you. I'm so glad that you're sharing this story. You're so vulnerable telling us this story here on the My DJ Story podcast, man. I want to ask you a specific question. You know, mm-hmm. when you were at rock bottom, when, you know, you lost the big money and you didn't know what to do, what gave you the motivation to keep going and not give up?
The one thing that gave me the motivation to keep going and not give up was actually my son. He always asked and wanted to get on a turntable with a DJ controller and, you know what I'm saying, work out and stuff like that. And I was like, well, since he wants to keep doing it, you know, it's like I got to keep doing it to keep it around for him. Because now, like, that's something that he's growing into as well. So, like, my son played, like, a very huge part in it. Because I remember, like, when he was in his mom's womb, I would normally practice, but I would put my headphones over her stomach. And so the queued up stuff and stuff like that, I had that just playing. So, like, that was one of the things that, like, kept me going, really. Or the main thing that kept me going was him. Like, him seeing something that I like. And then wanting to partake in it, that was like life changing for me. And then as well, one night, and this was after I had found out that the 7,000 was not coming. One night I did a party. I forgot what club it was. I think it was the third residency that I had. It was called The Luff. Now it's called On The Rocks. I did a party. It was a packed club. And the way that I controlled the crowd, it just gave me a different kind of high. And ever since then, I was like, all right, cool. You know how they say certain drugs, like after you take it, you know, you always try to chase that same high, you know? So that was kind of like the same thing. It was like, after I had that experience at that club that one night, it was like, all right, cool. I have to keep doing that because it was no feeling like it. Those were the main two things. My son wanting to DJ, and then that one night at that club where the crowd control was just amazing.
That's dope, bro. Nah, I really feel for that and honor you and respect to you for what you're doing and you doing it for your son and being able to bounce back from, you know, that tough time. Yeah. And tell me, you know, how did you navigate your way into, you know, working with Future and Ty Dolla $ign and all these celebrities? Like, how did you go from nothing to your peak and working with these, you know, celebrities?
That came about off of me being just a genuine stand-up guy. The club that I received the residency at, Newtown, that had closed down, I met a DJ by the name of DJ Steve-O, my man to this day. He was DJing up on the rooftop level, and I was downstairs on like one of the bottom levels. And like the club, like it was a great club, you know, but the equipment was kind of janky. So all the DJs that were there, if you didn't bring your controller or your turntables, anything like that, like you had to make do with what was there. So I had just got the Pioneer DDJ SX2 and my MacBook was older, so it wouldn't pair up with it. So I had to go back to my Serato box and use the CDJs. So Steve-O came downstairs trying to find stuff to piece together for upstairs. And I was like, bro, I got an SX2 in the trunk if you want to use it. And he was like, hell yeah. So I went and got that, took it to him. And then ever since then, we've been cool. So like for those shows, like the Future Show, the Yo Gotti's and the main celebrities that I've done, he was pretty much like the headlining DJ. So he, every time if he had to be late or, you know, he felt as though that I could be on, he'll call me, yo, I got Future at Bliss tonight, I'm trying to DJ. Yeah, of course, you know, no question. Or I got Ty Dolla $ign at Opera or Yo Gotti at Opera, you know what I'm saying? You trying? Yeah, of course, you know what I'm saying? So that's mainly how those connections happened with the like main artists. They was all through Steve-O.
Word. No, and that's dope that you found someone with the connects to get you in and you built a relationship with him because you were able to show him that, one, you're a stand-up guy, and you were able to just leverage that relationship you built with him. And it kind of just shows the importance of relationship building. And, you know, right now we're building a relationship through this call. And it's important that, you know, you put yourself out there to build relationships with people because those relationships have value in them. And could you imagine how different your life would be if you didn't have that relationship that got you into the door of these celebrities? You know what I mean? Like one relationship can change your life. So be intentional about building relationships and maintaining them and investing into those relationships because you never know what's going to come out of it. So that's super great advice. I'm really glad you told that story, man. I would love to hear, you know, what are some things that you're focused on today and what's some things that we can see from you in the future?
What I'm focused on today is creating a internet radio station to where as though it's going to create a platform for all of the underground artists, because today I feel as though that the radio stations are saturated with everything mainstream or with the same songs every hour on the hour. I think that it's unfair to the new talent that is coming in. So right now we're in the process of creating an online radio station. We have three podcasts right now. One of the podcasts is with a gentleman who writes for Precise Ears and Hip Hop Weekly. Besides that, I'm mainly focusing on bringing the mixtape culture back. I've released one mixtape this year so far, which is an R&B mixtape called Sexpert, featuring the guy D Barnes, great R&B guy. And I met him like 5 years ago, and I always told him, yo, we gotta work, we gotta work, we gotta work. And then it eventually happened, and we put together a tape in like 2 weeks, I wanna say. We put together a tape in 2 weeks, and it's out there on Spinrilla now. But right now, I'm more so focusing on the mixtapes, getting the internet radio station up and running, and focusing on the youth. That's one thing that I didn't mention in my story. For the past, 3.5 years, I have been teaching DJing to DC public schools as part of a after school program with the nonprofit After School All-Stars. So I was teaching that, and I ended up getting a few kids who wanted to network and work outside of the program. So I have a young man now, 3.5 GPA, and he's a rapper. So like what I do is I'll bring him in, give him free studio time here and there. I just gave him his first performance that we had for the grand opening of the studio. And so like that's my main thing now, is trying to reach out to the youth and get more things going with the youth, because the way it's looking out here, you know, we still gonna have things closed down. So, you know, they're still gonna be looking for stuff to do and get into to try and keep them out of trouble or keep them out of harm's way. So we're creating a program with the internet radio station. So whereas though I have 10 high school seniors now, they're about to graduate. I have them as my interns and bloggers. And what we do is, in return for them blogging content or posting content and different things like that, I give them the space to come in and create their own podcasts and radio shows. I also teach them how to operate the boards and the software for the radio and the podcast shows as well. And then what we are going to begin to do once things start to open up is, we're going to give them like tickets and passes to like different concerts and different things like that going on. So yeah, that's mainly it. The internet radio station powered by the youth, the mixtapes, and just mentoring more youth in the art culture. Whatever they want to do art-wise, whether it be gaming, that's another thing that we're setting up here as well. Like a gaming room for people or kids that want to stream, playing the games, different things like that. So yeah, man, that's my main thing, like the youth, just to focus and give back to the youth. Because my whole thing is, be that adult or that person that you needed or wanted when you were that age. So yeah, man, that's pretty much it.
Wow, bro, that's really powerful, man. And anyone out there that is listening, please do what he's doing and reach out and mentor and help the youth, help other people. You know, we're all given talents, and it's important that we use our talents and our skill sets to help and serve others. So I appreciate you, DJ Clutch, for being able to do that with your talents and inspiring other people and being a resource for other people to elevate themselves. So thank you for what you're doing. And I want to help and support whatever ways I can with my platform, with any of the resources or connections I may have. So we're going to continue talking, and I'm going to figure out what ways that I can lend support given my network.
Sure, no problem. I definitely appreciate it.
Awesome, brother. Yeah, we're going to take this time. We're going to jump right into the lightning round. But do you have anything else you want to say to the people before we do that?
Nothing much. Just stay prayed up on your dreams. Don't give up. And it's not going to be easy. You know, don't get deterred away, or don't shy away from what you're trying to do because you're coming to a speed bump. Because trust me, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But just off of the stories and the slow bumps that I've given you, and those were just the major bumps that I gave. You know, that wasn't the minor bumps that you're going to run to here and there. So just stay at it. If a problem happens, just go back, regroup, and figure out. Because if there's a will, there's a way.
Well said, brother. All right, we're going to jump right into the lightning round. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Pioneer DDJ SX 1000, I mean, Pioneer DDJ 1000 SRT I'm sorry, Apple MacBook Pro, and two Mackie speakers.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Besides myself, my favorite DJs would be DJ Quicksilver and DJ Steve-O.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
My favorite party or event that I DJed at, I'm going to have to say it was the Future event that I did at Bliss, only because it was last minute and the reaction that I got from the crowd, I think that was like one of my first, or no, that was my first time at Bliss. And for people that don't know, Bliss is like a mega club here. So it was like, oh man, this is amazing. And then I thought that I was just doing an opening set. And then Steve-O was like, he came in, got on for like 30 minutes. And then he was like, all right, go ahead, back to you. And I was like, what? So that was my time to shine, you know, Quicksilver. And this was when Quicksilver and Lil Mo had the radio show. They was the host for the event. So they was there. Quick was like, whoa. Okay, all right. You know, so that was a good moment for me right there.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
The most interesting person I've met through DJing, I would have to say Big Hef from Def Jam. He's an A&R from Def Jam. A man of very less words, but his impact and the things that he do and get done is just out of this world.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
One thing that's missing from live streaming for DJs. I don't think this is something that's missing, but they need to have it to where as though like DJs can do some kind of verification to where as though we can play music and not get cut off or something like that, you know, to where as though they can see, oh, or like we take a screenshot and say, oh, this is the setup that we're doing, so they'll know that it's a DJ or something like that. So I say like a verification process with DJs.
And shout out to DJs you know personally whose story should be shared on this podcast.
DJ Steve-O, DJ Quicksilver. I'm going to say, who else? DJ Culinary, he's from Detroit. And DJ Reese Cup, she's down in Atlanta.
Great. We look forward to hearing their stories on the show. And any DJs interested in being on the show, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And where can people find you online or in person if you're still doing events?
Well, right now you can find me online, IG at ClutchSZN. That's Clutch Season. Twitter, the same thing, Clutch Season. Facebook live streams, DJ Clutch. And then once things start to open back up, I'll be keeping you guys posted on those dates for those venues.
Awesome, brother. Hey, this was a really great interview, man. I really appreciate you sharing your story on the My DJ Story podcast. Everyone, please check out DJ Clutch. He's an amazing brother doing some amazing things in his community. We need more people like you in the DJ world, man. I appreciate you.
No problem. I appreciate you for having me.
Thank you. Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.